He had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on this this young son. And I know I spent some time, but I'm gonna give him another shot. This young fella, and you know the chapter how it lays out. There was a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost son. In context, we're dealing with a lost. These three lost person. Even get started, you'll ever be saved. It's the only way. Turn over a new leaf, do a lot of good works, join the church, identify with God's people, but you're going to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. And that's taught. That is the true meaning of this text. But I want to maybe make an application this morning. And I know this text has been preached every way in the world, and I understand that, but I want to make an application this morning, and I want to look at this son as an individual who is in trouble, an individual who has a problem. And here's what I see amongst God's people so many times. They have problem. Maybe a problem comes in their life, and it's as if they just can't get past it. I don't know if, and maybe some of you all have been there. I try to take inventory of my life and see if there was a time that I just encountered a problem and just could not get past it. I could not get victory over that problem. I'm thinking of a young man right now, and it's as if he cannot get victory over his problem, and it's keeping him from the Father, if I could just say it that way. And I understand the context of the Scriptures. Don't run me in the ditch, but draw some truth from this passage this morning. Here's a son, and he has a problem. The Bible says there was a famine. He spent all. He began to be in want. He had a need in his life. had a need in his life that had some wants. He was wanting. There was something lacking. Something was missing. There were things, and in his case, it was food, but in our case, it might be a multitude of things. Something just wasn't what it should be in his life. And you see from the text, he tried to solve it on his own. He tried to solve this situation on his own. I've seen God's people do that. In fact, now I can name a multitude of times in my life where, independent of God, I tried to solve particular situations or problems only to fail, just as this fella did. And I think I ought to say this to you. There's some things you just can't get past without the Lord's help. And you can say what you want to, and you can be the tough guy, and you can be the man, the lady who can handle every situation, but there'll be times in life and there'll be things in life you just can't handle by yourself. And fact of the matter is, most likely, that there other people can't help you. You just can't find help. That's where this fellow was at. That's where he's at. This fellow's needing help and he can't get it. He can't find it. No man. The Bible said he began to be in want, and the end of verse 16, no man gave unto him. There was no source of help. No source of help. Except one, we're going to see in a few minutes. And so here is a fella, and he needs help. He just needs help. And he's not really even in a right relationship with the Father. He's not right. And you and I would say that he made his own bed, let him lay in it. We might say that. So many times we look at people and we say they did it to themselves, and just let them deal with it. And that's where this fellow was. If I could just maybe phrase it like this, he was his own worst enemy. His own worst enemy. Everything that has come in his life has been self-inflicted. And the fact of the matter is, most of our problems many times are self-inflicted. And many of us, if we'd be honest, we'd look in the mirror and say, there's our worst enemy. We're our own worst enemy. That's where this fellow was at. But unlike many of God's people, he found help. Dre, he didn't stay defeated. He didn't stay whipped. He some way, we're going to look in the scripture here and just follow through it. He found a means of help, you see. And aren't you glad that if you're saved, there is a means of help for you and I. Amen. There's a place for help. And so here he is, and he's at odds with his father. He's not in a right relationship to get help. And so he's doing all he can to help himself to no avail. But in verse 17, something unusual happens. Something you and I just can't really define why it happened, when it happened. We can't put a pencil to it and figure it out. But here's what happened. The Bible says, And when he came to himself, he came to himself. In context, that's the Holy Spirit dealing with a sinner. I understand that. But in our application this morning, he began to think rightly. He began, for some reason, he had not been thinking like he ought to, but now he's thinking rightly. Have you ever seen believers struggling around, and the fact of the matter, you knew, and I knew, and everybody else knew, they just were not thinking like they ought to. We've all seen that. That's where this fellow was. But there come a time, and for some reason, maybe something prompted him, some event happened. Maybe he became still and just started meditating for whatever reason. The Bible says in verse 17, he came to himself. He started thinking rightly. All of a sudden, he's thinking reasonable. Now, I will say this, and I believe this for every child of God who is sideways on the Lord, there will come a time that you'll start thinking right. God will show you mercy. That's what's really happening in this passage right here. The Lord is showing this fellow mercy and allowing him for a moment to be sober-minded and think like he ought to think. He came to himself. I mean, he starts thinking right. My, aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't just give up on us? I'm so thankful for that. My, I've stumped my toe many times in my Christian life, but I'm so glad that the Lord didn't give up on me. I'm so glad that every now and then in my crazy thinking and my fleshly reasoning and mentality that the Lord would come by and help me to think right for a little bit. Thankful for that. We see here this fella, he came to himself. He began to, he started thinking right for a minute. He just got it together for a second or two. Maybe if he'd ignored that, he probably would have passed and he'd have went back to his ungodly mentality. But when he came to himself, he responded to his right thinking. And here's what he said. He said, "How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare?" And here's what he said, "I'm perishing with hunger." He said, "I'm dying. But there is help available." That's his thinking. He realized where he was at. Many times, I'm afraid God's people, when the Lord comes to them, they deny where they're really at. Where are you at this morning? If you had to be honest, if you could not lie, if you could not hide it, if you could not put on a facade, where are you at with the Lord? Here's what he said. He said, "I'm perishing." Now, in my application, I'm using him as a son this morning. And he's saying this, "I'm perishing. I'm going down. I'm dying on the vine, if I can say it that way. I'm withering away." I wonder, because of some problem, maybe self-inflicted, that you'd have to say this if you was honest. Preacher, I'm withering away. Preacher, I'm dying on the vine. You say no plant, those of you that plant a garden, you plant that thing and it starts dying. You start trying to figure out, you might put a little water to it, or you might do this, trim off the dead limbs, and maybe it just gets worse. That's where he's at. Here's what he would say: I'm getting worse and worse. I mean, he was honest when he came to himself. He was honest-hearted about where he was at. I'm perishing with hunger. And I'm going to say this, I've said it 100 times, many of you all have heard you say it, but here is the truth of the matter. Until we get honest-hearted with the Lord and honest-hearted with ourselves, we'll never get help.
Amen.
You just take that for what it's worth. You can be a Pharisee, you can be a hypocrite, you can play a part, you can be an actor. But until you get serious with the Lord and get honest with yourself and just admit where you're at, you'll never be helped by Him. So the first thing I see, he was honest about where he was at. He just said it. He wasn't the big tough guy that he was when he left. I mean, when he left, he needed nobody, no father. No, he had everything he needed. And when he was wasting his substance with riotous living, everything was fine. He had no needs. He had no realization that he was wasting his life. But now he's come to himself. I just wonder, maybe some of us might need, or might have, rather, come to ourselves. I just wonder if there might be somebody that would say this: Preacher, here's the honest facts of the matter. And I'm not saying to say that to me. He didn't say it to anybody but to himself. There was nobody for him to talk to. He just said to himself, I'm perishing. And I know where there's some help at. And can I say to you this morning, I know where there's some help at for you if you're drying up spiritually on the vine. So he came to himself and he admitted what he was and where he was at. And he acknowledged, here's what I think. I think it took some humility on his part. Because he left, if I could say it this way, he left a big man. Pocket full of money. Don't need anybody. Life is good. I'll make it on my own. But now he's perishing, and he willingly admits to himself, I'm perishing. And the one I mistreated, the one I had no respect for, the one I took advantage of, the one I offended, the one I forsook, he's the only one that can help me. That had to humble him. Humbling, I guess being humbled is one of the most uncomfortable processes there is in life. If you've ever been humiliated or humbled, you know what I'm talking about. It's very, I don't know a better word to use, it's just extremely uncomfortable to the flesh. But here he is, and he's humbled. And he could have said, there is just no way I can go back home and face my dad. There's just no way that I can do that. There's no way. My, how humiliating for all those servants to see me in the shape I'm in, and the way where I've got myself to. And they saw me when I left, and they saw how I acted. And I just can't go back. He could have said that. But here's what he said. His life's on the line. I mean, he's perishing. He knows he's perishing. He knows there's no help. And here's what he says in verse 18. He purposes in his heart that he's going to do something. He's going to do his part. Now, can I just stop and say this? You can't help anybody that won't help themselves. We've tried it around here. It doesn't work until they get in their mind that they're going to help themselves and do what they can. My, you cannot help them. But here's a fella that said, I know where I'm at. I know where the help's at. And I'm going to do what I can to get help. Now, there's hope for somebody like that. And if you're here and you say, I'm perishing, I'm not willing to do anything about it, just have to go out the door. And I'm sad for you, but you're not going to get any help, and most likely you're going to be a spiritual casualty. That's right. Many prodigals never go back home. Amen. Not ever prodigal gets back to the Father. Here's a fella said, I'm perishing. I'm going to admit who I am and where I'm at. I'm perishing. And I'm going to admit and acknowledge where the help is. And then he said this, I'm going to do everything I can to get back to the Father where the help is. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to take action. And then he said this, I'm gonna repent. I'm going to say to my Father when I get there, I've sinned. He's not calling it a happy life. He's not calling that righteous life happy, enjoyable, a right life. He's not trying to justify himself. He's not trying to say, well, I was just a kid and it's okay. He said, when I get back home, I'm going to tell the Father, I've messed up, I've sinned, I'm wrong, I'm a sinner. You get that attitude, you can get some help from the Lord. He said in verse 18, I'm going to rise and go to my Father, and I'm going to say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned before thee. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm not a pretty good fella. I'm not this or that. I'm not your son and worthy of you to restore me. Father, I've made a mess out of my life. I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven before thee. Verse 19, no more worthy to be called thy son. I'm unworthy. That's what he's saying. Here's a fella, man, he said, just give me what's mine. Give me. Give me what's mine. My, you've all heard he says, give me, but when he comes back home, he says, make me. My, such a good little message to preach there. But he says this, I've sinned against heaven before thee, and I'm unworthy to be a son. I'm unworthy. My, there's a lot of God's people, if they'd be honest. Can I say, I don't know if any of us are worthy to be sons. Outside of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This fella, he felt it. He had made a mess out of his life. And he said, I'm no more worthy to be called my son. And then he said this, would you just, my, what humility. Would you just make me as one of thy servants? Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, I'm not worthy to be in the family. Just let me sleep out at the bunkhouse. Just let me be out there with them. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied to be on the premises, not even in the house. He's humbled himself. He's become honest hearted. And he's going to come back to the place where there's help. You know what he had to do? He had to come back to the very place where he left at. He had to, you see, the place of help is really not a place, it's a person of help. And that person's an unchanging God. You say, preacher, I'd like to get back in. What do I do? Go back to where you got out at. Amen. You'll find the Father there. That's what he did. Where he left is where he went back to. Same place. Same place. Went back. And so he arose. He took action. You'll never get help without acting on what you know. You've got to act. You've got to do your part. You've got to act. You can know the situation you're in. You can know you need help. You can know you're lost. You can know you're away from God. You know you're backslid. You can know where the help is. You can know what you need to do. But you must act on what you know. You must act on what you know. You have to. He arose, the Bible says, and he arose and came to his father. Now, I just want to say this to you. If you're in trouble, and you know you're in trouble, and you know you're not where you ought to be with the Lord, and you know you're perishing spiritually. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing your joy and losing the rewards of serving God and the victorious life. And you know that there's only one place you can go. Not to the preacher. I can't help you. It's not to your spiritual hero. It's not to your mom and dad. Although they're good counselors, I'm saying to you young folks, it's nothing wrong with counseling with them, nor with the pastor, nothing wrong with that. But there's only one place to get help. Amen. That's with the Father. Amen. See, if you've got a problem and you acknowledge it, and you readily accept that, and you know the Father is where the help is at, there's only one thing for you to do. Go to him. It's personal between you and him. That's how it is. If you're ever going to get right, it's going to be between you and him. And so that's what he does. Now here's a man that that received help. Many never receive help. They will not humble themselves. They will not be honest. Their pride will not allow them to receive spiritual help. But he received help. He acted on what he knew he needed to do. He acted on it. And he's thanking the Father. Now, he knows some things about the Father, but he doesn't know the Father's unconditional love. It does not appear. Can I tell you, the help for all our problems is with the Father. It's with the Father. I want to talk about the Father if I can get there. But here we see the Father. And this fellow had confidence in the Father. Before he ever came back, he knew that the Father had plenty to spare after he fed the servants. But there's some things he didn't know. He thought the father would be very harsh with him. It seems that, because he's going to negotiate just to stay in the servants' headquarters. Just going to stay there with the servants. And so he comes, and as he was coming, he's the father sees him a great way off. The father, if I could say it this way, he's expecting him to come back. My, if you're one of his children and you're wayward, can I tell you what the father is expecting? He's expecting one day for you to come back. That's right. He's expecting you to come back. The Bible says when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Now, I'm just going to stop a minute and look at some what ifs. He could have come out there and said, "Son, look at the mess you in. You've embarrassed. You disgraced the family. You're an embarrassment to me among my friends. How dare you? I told you so." On and on we could go. But that's not the nature of our Father. Here's what the Bible said. He had compassion on him. He had compassion and ran. Now this, if we take this as a picture of our Heavenly Father, you will never find anywhere, as far as I know, nowhere in the Word of God will you ever find the Father running except here. That's a beautiful thought. He wants you back as much as you want to be back. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, here's the Father, and he sees him a long ways off. I can just, in my mind, I can just picture that, Brother Bud. Boy, that looks like my boy coming there. Maybe a few more steps. That is my boy. He's coming on. That's my boy. And then he takes off. Can't you see that? That's a picture of our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He'll never give up on you. He wants you to come back. He cannot relinquish his position. He's the same. He's holy. He's righteous. He cannot overlook it. But my, he wants you to come back to him. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He was a mess, but the father embraced him, kissed him. What is that? What are you saying? I'm saying you may have made a mess, but if you'll start back, he'll meet you. May have made a mess out of your life. If you'll be honest hearted, admit what you are, what you've done, realize where the help's at, and act on what you know. And we say it this way, I don't think it was halfway, but if you'll just let me say that, he'll meet you halfway. He'll meet you. And when he meets you, can I tell you what he'll do? He'll clean you up. He'll clean you up. I could talk about him being in the hog pen, how he smelled, how he looked, and all that. You know that. You've heard that 100 times. But the Father will clean you up. He'll take you, even as a son. He'll take you. If you'll admit you're a sinner and you've come short, he'll take you like you are and he'll clean you up. He loves you today. Had the prodigal never arose, Had he never started towards home, he'd have never been healed. He cleaned him up. And this fella who's perishing with hunger, it's not long before he's eating the fatted calf. Can I just say, what a Father we have. What a God. I'm glad I'm one of His this morning. I want to ask you, our Father, my, so much I could say. He was a offended, forsaken. But remember, Father, is a providing. He was a steadfast. Son knew right where the Father stood. He solved His Son's problem. He solved His problem. The problem was hunger, and He solved it. He can solve your problem. It might not be hunger. It might be something else. He can solve it. Well, I've got family problems. He can solve it. Well, I've got financial problems. He can solve that. Well, I've got this problem, that problem. He can solve it. Hey, with Him, there's nothing impossible. I know He can't lie and He can't sin. I'm saying outside of His character, within His character, there's nothing impossible for God. He can solve your problem. Would you take it to Him? Would you go to Him? Would you this morning be honest? It starts with an honest heart and realizing where the help is. The humility's in there too. You're going to have to humble yourself. The proud will never receive much. The Bible says He resisteth the proud. Would you humble yourself this morning? Be honest with the Lord. And just say, I need help. It's not, you don't have to confess to me. And can I just say this? It's not always the big problem. Sometimes just the little things of life. But He's just as interested in the little things as the big things. You're His child. He'll help you. Let's bow our heads this morning. Ask somebody to come play on the piano just lightly. Just lightly on the piano. Would you be honest? It starts with an humble, honest heart. Would you be honest with Him this morning? And my, just come to Him. Come to Him. There's help. There's help at the Father's house. There's help. You don't have to die on the vine. You don't have to carry that heavy load. There's help. There's help with the Father.